Hey, it's Tess Green, and this is We Are All Stories. I can't believe we're at the end of series one already. It has just flown by, this series. It's crazy stuff. Before we go into the episode, I just want to ask you if you guys can please go to the website, testgpodcast.com, and fill out my end of series one poll. That way I can get a really good discussion next week when we go over, you know, just what we liked best about this series and what we didn't like and who was our favorite character, etc. Which will be a really great discussion. I'm actually really excited to go over that all with you. Also, please feel free to tweet, Instagram, Facebook, any kind of interaction, any questions or anything you want to go over in the series overview episode. Podcast episode. I don't want to miss out on anything and any interesting topics that we come up with. I'm really excited and I think it'll be a great episode. So we will be doing both episodes 12 and 13 of series one, so Bad Wolf and the Parting of the Ways. Both are directed by Joe Ahern and written by Russell T. Davies. Episode 12 was aired on June 11th, 2005, and episode 13 was June 16, 2005. It's so exciting to go through this. I'm so excited. Woo! We'll start with episode 12, obviously. As for our cast, we have Christopher Eccleston as the Doctor, Billy Piper as Rose Tyler, John Borrowman as Jack Harkness, and those are really the main people. We have Linda Moss, Joe Joyner. There's Linda Moss, and she's kind of the more main extra. Later on, we will have Mickey Smith and Jackie Tyler come up, so that is Noel Clark and Camille Kuduri joining us for that episode. But to start, let's start with Bad Wolf. Okay, let's get into this episode. So, this episode, a little overview, feels very different than a regular Doctor Who episode. I feel like it's because we're mixing reality TV in with Doctor Who. And it's a very interesting idea, and it's an interesting way to discuss the possibility of where reality TV could go. I don't believe that it'll ever go this way, but it is kind of a disgusting, scary truth that this is a place it could go to. And I really like that discussion this episode, and that kind of makes you think. I enjoy that. I also don't feel like this episode is an end of the season episode, unfortunately. It doesn't seem like a series finale. It does near the end of the episode when it gets a little bit more dire. But in the beginning here, a good three quarters of the episode, it just feels like Monster of the Week. Next episode, episode 13, is a little bit more series finale feeling. And it is really emotional, so I like that. This first episode just kind of seems fun and light and it's a little bit dark. It makes you think a little bit, but not really expanding our knowledge into the overarching series, I guess. I don't know. I just feel like it's a little bit more, they needed something to get them to the series finale. They needed a little bit of filler. Kind of feels like it has good thought-provoking things, but I just don't feel like it is quite a strong part of the series finale, if that makes sense. I can briefly go through it. So we start with the previous episode, little highlights there, and it's all about Satellite 5 from The Long Game. They get a little bit, and it says, ends with the Doctor saying, all will go back to normal, or something similar to that, which is obviously not going to happen when it says it like that. And then we get our cold open, so we get 100 years later on a black screen, which is very interesting because they just did that in Boomtown. Again, kind of making you feel like this is another liminal episode, and it is sort of, except for it's not a standalone, it's connected to a bigger episode, but there is a good portion that is just very liminal. I don't know. That's how I feel, guys. You can definitely disagree. So we start off with the Doctor. We get a little bird's eye view of him waking up in this closet, kind of out of control. We're spinning around, feel very disoriented. We don't know what's going on. What happened? We're feeling as the Doctor feels, confused. What is going on? He gets out of the closet and meets Linda, and then shortly finds out he's in the Big Brother house. Right when he figures it out, go to credits, and then we come back from credits with Rose waking up in a dark room. We learn that there's a transmit beam that brings them in, that grabs random people, and there's some amnesia that comes along with that. This gentleman, who is hanging out with Rose, Roderick, I believe, says, do what the android says, don't provoke it, the android's word is law. And then we find out that Rose is on the weakest link. And then we go to our third little scene with, there's some fuzzy camera work, and we see Jack wake up, and he's on some sort of What Not to Wear show. So we kind of have three different shows that we're exploring, which is kind of fun. They seem kind of random, like, oh, we're on game shows. This is kind of fun. Let's do this. Just explore the situation as you're in it. We go back to the doctor, and he has a cute moment with Linda, where she asks what kind of person, like, does everyone like her? Is she the one that everyone's going to vote for? Like, it's very cute. And then the doctor remembers what happened and how they all got separated. And we see in his little vision, Rose falling into the light as well, with her arm outstretched, looking at the doctor. So it's very interesting. And then we get the doctor getting a good shot of him looking directly into the camera and saying, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to get you, basically. And then we go and we zoom out of the little screen where we see the doctor's face. And we're in some sort of control kind of TV room, like where all the people who are managing the shows are. We see a man and there's lots of blue lighting. And it looks a little bit more Doctor Who from this set. I don't know. I mean, I probably do. That's the blue. Yeah, we see this. And then we go back to Rose's game. And she's laughing. She doesn't understand what's going on. And we're starting to feel a little bit more dread. It's slowly building a little bit more and a little bit more. It seems so lighthearted. Just like, oh, we got all mixed up in this. And then now we're like, what happened? Why are we mixed up in this? How did the doctor get here? Someone must have been looking for him. Who called them all out and put them on the show? They're not on Earth. They're not there. How did this happen? And we go back to the control room and it's, they realize that Rose doesn't know what's happening. Then we go back to Jack. He's changing his outfit again. Earlier, he made a joke about being naked on national television. Funny. And then we see the robots there saying cutting edge. And we zoom in on a chainsaw. And we go, something is not right. It's not just fun and games anymore. It seems a little bit more serious. We get back to Rose. They ask Rose what she does. The android asks Rose what she does. And she says travel, basically saying unemployed. They all vote this one woman off, and then we see this woman get disintegrated. So this is when we start to realize, oh, this isn't a fun game. Everyone dies. Who doesn't win dies. It's end of the world game show. We go to the doctor, where he hasn't realized this obviously yet, and it's eviction time. We see one girl get evicted, and everyone's really sad. The doctor's super confused, like, what do you mean? She's gonna go and get her own reality TV show and book deal and blah, blah, blah. But then we see her get disintegrated, and Linda says, she's evicted from life, which is really dark. It's dark. The doctor then realizes how barbaric this whole situation is, which is just awful. And Linda with a Y explains that you don't get a choice. She just gives a little bit of background here. You don't get a choice in who gets picked. You get picked at random. The doctor realizes breaking property gets you evicted, and so he breaks something so he can be evicted. We go back to seeing those two people from the control room. And there we learn about the controller. So the woman with the hoses in her, which is also really weird. This episode isn't my favorite. I love a lot of what happens at the end of the episode, but the majority of this episode is not my favorite, which is really funny. I mean, I don't mind it. It's good at what it does, I guess. It's interesting. It has a good plot. It's just not really for me. It does bring up topics about, like, reality TV. Apparently, Russell T. Davies loves reality TV, and he's been wanting to do a reality TV episode of Doctor Who for a while when he started this. But it's just not my favorite, which is weird, because I love Doctor Who. But I think it's just this beginning part. I mean, it's fun. There's lots of fun wordplay and quotes about the different shows, and it really is a good integration of that. I can see kind of structurally how it's exciting with that, and with the different, structurally isn't the right word, but mechanically, I guess, exciting because of using all these things. It's just not my cup of tea. Anyways, back to the episode. So we get, to finish the trio out, we see that Jack realizes what's going on and he shoots the androids. We go back to Rose and we see that Roderick is keeping Rose because she's stupid and he wants to keep her to the end so that he can win. At the end, we also see the sign that says Bad Wolf Corporation, which is again a big call out to Bad Wolf, which is what this episode is called. Even though, yeah, you don't know why Bad Wolf till next episode. So it's interesting that this one's called Bad Wolf. At this moment, we see, obviously, this is kind of the culmination of the Bad Wolf topic. So they're making sure you know about it. So we get a good flashback of every time there has been Bad Wolf anywhere. And this is when Rose says, maybe I'm not here by mistake. Someone's been planning this. So we get a little bit of eeriness from that. Someone has planned this. There's a reason Dr. Rose and Jack are here, and it's kind of creepy. We go back to the doctor, and he is getting evicted. And then we see the transmite beam does not work on him, so he does not die. And he says, I knew that something's brought me here, so they won't kill me. He makes Linda come with him. And that's when he realizes this is Satellite 5. And now called Game Station. I just have to say that the dynamic between the doctor and Linda is so sweet. They are so cute together. And not like in a romantic way, even though you can tell Rose is a little bit threatened by it later, but more like father-daughter or uncle-niece or something. It's very, very sweet. He takes her under his wing and it's very cute. She explains to him all about the game station, and he gets really confused because he sees that a lot more power is being used, and this can't just be powering these games, so there's something else going on behind the scenes. This is also where the doctor sees the Bad Wolf, so again, bringing that back to it, and he's super confused. We go back to the control room where those two people are trying to figure out what's going on. The guy asks the controller about the security breach, and she says, continue working, they are no one. And then also Archive 6 is out of bounds. It's interesting to bring up they are no one again, as they were no one in the long game. So I like that. It's not really the same use of it, but I still enjoy that. We go back to the doctor where he realized that this whole game station and the destruction of Earth is because of him. We do learn that later it's not really because of him. It is definitely not, actually. So it is not because of him, but it's nice to put a little bit of guilt on the doctor, even though I'm sure he has ages of it. We then go back to Rose and Roderick, and they're still in their game. Jack finally catches up with the doctor. He says hello to Linda, and the doctor gets mad, and Jack says, I just said hello. For you, hello is flirting, and I love that. I love that little continuity between all of that stuff. It's great. And we get again, the doctor's like, something is wrong. This is doing more than just broadcasting TV. He can tell that when he's trying to find Rose and why none of his technology is matching. They then find out where Rose is, and Linda says, oh no, she's with the android, you have to go now. And we get this nice build-up of tension, and I really like it, and Doctor Who's very good at it, building up the tension in an episode. So they do really well. Lots of counting. Counting always builds up tension. It's just such a good way to go, and it's such a clean way to build up. We see the numbers of the elevator, we see the counting of broadcasters. Like, it's just a great technique. Finally get this end where Rose finds out she's the weakest link and she's starting to panic, and the doctors run into the room, but she says don't argue with the android, leave her alone, kind of thing. And so then she jumps in front of the beam, this integrator beam, and then she dies. This, guys, it's come back. The death of Rose is again here. Who'd have thunk? So I guess that theme's back, the death of Rose, because Rose just died. And it's kind of this really depressing moment. Very sad, very slow, very painful to watch. I don't know, it was really sad. We see the doctor, Linda, and Jack being arrested. Then they end up fighting out of their jail cell. And we see that they go to floor 500, so to meet the controller. We get a little bit of exposition from one of the workers who kind of fills in the blanks for all of us. And then Jack finds the TARDIS. We get this moment in the TARDIS, and I don't think it was deliberate because it's a long time in between. But for anyone who knows, who's seen ahead of this, there was a moment with the jacket on the railing, and that's a little bit of foreshadowing, isn't it, guys? If you've seen episodes later on, I feel like it's foreshadowing. Let me know what you think. We see Jack realize the truth, and so he uses the beam on Linda, and then they realize it's not a disintegrator beam. It's a tractor beam. She's just moved somewhere else, and they're like, Rose is alive, and everyone's really exciting, and it's great. Excited, and it's great. Then we get the solar flare happening, so the controller talks to the doctor and tries to explain the situation, but just makes it very vague. the Queen of Egg right there. Doesn't really give any details. She fears them, but they fear the Doctor. Also, bringing up the tension, making this episode seem a little more serious, it wasn't, even with the death of people in these games, it still didn't feel quite serious until everyone came up into the control room. This is when it kind of started to feel more of a Doctor Who episode, when everyone's out of the games and we're in reality. Sorry, I did that backwards. After they talk to the controller, they find out Rose is alive, and they say Rose is alive, and then we go to a different shot where Rose wakes up, terrified, and we see through a blue lens. And guys, if you have any good memories, you'll remember what that blue lens is. I don't know if that's just from the future, but I think we looked through the blue lens before. We come back after seeing a terrified Rose through the blue lens, and we see the controller and the Doctor, and they're trying to figure out where Rose is. And the controller gives the coordinates, even though they can see what she's doing and hear what she's doing. So the controller gets transmitted over there and dies in an electric way. Guys, you remember that? Death and how that happens is very familiar to all of us. I like how she says, "I bought you your destruction," and someone's been playing a long game. We go to the camera and we see fear on the Doctor's face, and then we learn that it is Daleks. Dum dum dum. We know from this episode and from every other episode that the Daleks do fear the Doctor, so we get a little bit of fear from them, and the Doctor blatantly disregards what they say to him and says that he will save Rose and he will come to get her and for the Daleks to get ready for battle. And then voila, end of episode. I actually really like the end of this episode more than I like more of their two-parter episodes. This isn't a cliffhanger. It is a little bit bringing up the tension, making you excited to come back the next episode, but it's not so blatant of a cliffhanger. So I do really enjoy that. I enjoyed this episode, sort of. Mechanically, it works. My interest level isn't crazy there. I mean, there are a lot of fun parts and bits and bobs of it, but yeah, that is my thought. Okay, let's get on to the next episode where it gets a little bit more series finale for me. This first episode didn't feel very series finale. It didn't seem end of the world-ish, which is what I feel like every series finale of Doctor Who should feel like. End of the world, what will happen, will they survive? And then this great happy ending. That's how I feel like they should end. Kind of epically. And it wasn't very epic. So we start the episode 13, The Parting of the Ways, with the previous episode summary there. And then we go straight to credits. So they skip the cold open, which I do appreciate. We don't need a cold open when we're in the middle of an episode. We come back for the credits, and we're on the Dalek ship, and we see the Daleks trying to shoot the TARDIS, but the TARDIS lands kind of on top of Rose and a Dalek. Is interesting. And the Doctor grabbed Rose. We get a little bit more background on the Time War. And then we get to meet the Emperor of the Daleks. And we start to notice that these Daleks are a little bit different. They've been harvesting humans to make themselves. And we saw before what happens when the Daleks mix with human DNA. And we will see it again and again and again. The Daleks aren't very good at upgrading, to borrow a term that we've used before. They're not so great at that, so it is interesting to see how that is used. They treat this emperor as a god. He is not just a regular Dalek, he's special, and so that is a little bit more. They say blasphemy. They have more emotion than just hate. Daleks are known for not feeling anything, just hate and negative, but here they have worship as well, so they are more human. We go back to the game station with the Doctor once he learns as much as he can, and he wants to create a Delta Wave, and everyone gets excited, and everyone else goes to defend the base. We see a lot of heroes come out of here, and also not. This episode for me, the last episode was kind of about TV and danger of that, kind of. It didn't really have any major themes that I felt from it. I mean, it does obviously have themes, and you can find themes in anything you look for, but this episode is a lot about heroics. What makes a hero? Who's a hero? How can you be a hero? What does a hero mean? And to me, this episode shows that if you stand up and you do what you can in the situation that you're put in, and you protect others, and you work hard, and you try hard, and make an effort, then you are a hero. If you put yourself in battle, in any way, shape, or form, you're a hero. And we see this split, especially when the other people in Satellite 5 who haven't been evacuated, or the game station, sorry, game station, when they decide not to. They do not stand forth. They go to the bottom. And is life any better for them? No. But instead of dying a hero, they die cowards. But then again, a coward can be a hero as well, as the Doctor does display later. So this is a very interesting episode. I like that theme of heroes and cowards and killers. And it is quite interesting, the balance of that. What makes a hero? What makes a coward? What makes a killer? Like, it's great discussion. We see Jack run off to go protect the base, and he kisses Rose and the Doctor. And Rose is trying to convince herself that Jack will be all right. And we get this really, really sad moment in the heat of the battle when the Doctor realizes it's not going to work. So he sends Rose home, and he lies to get her there because he needs to protect her. And it is very, very sweet. Very sweet. Rose and the Doctor. Oh my gosh, that was a little bit of a moment. I had a little bit of a moment there when I watched this episode. We then see Rose sad with Mickey. And she has this moment with him. And then we come back to the game station and the Doctor tells Jack what happened. And we learn here that the gamma ray will destroy Earth as well. But the Doctor says, you know, humans will live on. There's colonies everywhere, but we have to kill the Daleks. This is the way it has to go, and Jack agrees. And we get this nice sweet moment between Jack and the Doctor, which is nice. And I forgot that they had a really cute relationship right now. And I remember why they don't later. I get it, but it's still interesting. We then get the Doctor talking to the Emperor again, and the Doctor realizes Bad Wolf is not by the Emperor. And so we still have that bit of confusion there. Rose and Jackie and Mickey are at a diner eating chips and burgers or something. And Rose is having a full-on meltdown. And this is a really good moment where she talks about what makes the Doctor important. What makes traveling with the Doctor important. Jackie's obviously happy that her daughter's home. And she said she's never really liked the Doctor, but she likes him now. She really appreciates that he brought her daughter back. And we see here that the Doctor has made Rose act and think like a hero. She's a hero. She's like, I can't have them be there and not be helping. I need to help. It's happening right now as we speak. She can't be on the sideline. And I like this. How this is what Rose says when she's telling Mickey and Jackie about what the Doctor has helped her become. Like, who he's helped her become. You don't just give up. You don't just let things happen. You make a stand. You say no. You have the guts to do what's right when everyone else just runs away. The Doctor has taught her how to be a hero. And what's important in that? And that's very interesting because she was just a regular girl and she has these tendencies in her all along, but he has helped her grow into this hero. And also a hero who doesn't take credit. The Doctor doesn't take credit for when he does things. We saw that before with We saw it before in World War III, where he doesn't take credit for it, and he just lets Harriet Jones kind of take over and take care of the situation. In The Long Game, he lets Kathka clean up the situation. So it's very interesting, he doesn't ever really take credit, and Rose understands that, and now she is in that same zone where she needs to help, but not for the glory of it, just because that is what she needs to do. That is who she is, and that is the right thing to do. And I love that. Again, guys, this is what I mean. This half of the episode has way more meat than the first half. I almost wish they just did this in one episode and didn't do the long lead up. This second half is just so much better, which is funny because usually the second half of a two-parter is just action and I don't have as much emotion and much growth and everything and conversation from it. We start to see, we go back to Satellite 5 and the Daleks start to invade. We then go back to Earth and we see Rose sitting on a bench in like a parking lot playground. And we just see Bad Wolf on the ground in front of her and then spray painted on all the walls. And she's literally surrounded by Bad Wolf. And this is kind of where she realizes that it is a message. It is not a warning. And I really like that. I like it. And then we learn Rose's move that she's going to do is she's going to open the heart of the TARDIS and look into it. And she says to him, Mickey, there is nothing left for her there, which is really sad for Mickey. And then he says, if that's true, let's do this. Because he doesn't want to be let on either, and he needs to move on. And if that's what makes her happy, he still loves her. but she needs to do this. And you can't really be upset. He did let her leave a couple times ago. We go back to the Daleks invading more. And then back to Rose, Mickey, and Jackie trying to open the TARDIS with Mickey's car. It doesn't seem to work. We go back to Satellite 5 and we see all the people from Floor Zero where they were hiding, those ones who didn't want to fight. We see them die, which is really sad. Linda gives us a little description of Earth being bombed. That is also really sad. It does feel very end of the world, and it's really well done. And I'd just like to say, Linda has a really awful job of watching everyone die. It's just not a fun job. We go back to Earth and we see Rose talking to Jackie and saying, this is what Pete would have done. This is what he would have done. And she explains how she met her father. And Jackie kind of loses it, to be fair. I think that is a logical explanation. When she finds out that her daughter met Pete and was the one who held his hand when he died. We get a little moment between Rose and Mickey encourages her to keep going, to not give up. And then we see Jackie bring the tow truck to use because she agrees that Pete would have done it. Pete was a hero. He would have tried it. We go back to the game station where everyone's still fighting. And we see that the Daleks found Linda, which is a really sad moment. I don't like it. And we see her die. And then Jack is the last man standing there. He is the last one to be alive. And we see go back to Earth, and it's kind of building up the tension again here between the scenes. And we see the tow truck works. It opens, and Rose looks into the heart of the TARDIS. And we go back to the game station. We see Jack die. And we get this lovely moment where the Doctor is now talking to the Daleks. And they say, are you a killer or a coward? And the Doctor's going to turn on that gamma ray because it's made and he's ready. But he can't do it. And he's like, coward. Always a coward. Are you going to make me harvest me or are you just going to kill me? And it just shows that, like, the Doctor is a hero. He couldn't kill everybody on the planet. He couldn't do it. Because he has a heart. And he's not. He had to kill a whole race of people before and he doesn't want to do it again. I don't blame him. Death is hard for the Doctor, and he never wants to give it, to deal it out. Then we see the TARDIS come back, and Rose comes in, clearly very supernatural there with her gold eyes and halo, like she's very golden. And she turns them all to dust and gives life back to Jack. And she's talking to the Doctor, and in one moment, she really connects with him. I feel like she says, I see all of time and space. And he's like, you see it too. That's what I see every time. Isn't it annoying? And they're on the same level, but he knows that she can't handle it. We see Rose say, but I can. I am the sun and the moon, the day and the night. But why do they hurt? And she's crying. I can see everything, all of it. All that is, all that was, all that ever could be. And I love this moment where she goes, my head, and he's like, come here, it's killing me. And he goes, I think you need a doctor. And then he kisses her, and we see the golden light transfer from her to him, and she passes out. And he puts the TARDIS back together. We see Jack kind of wakes up, but the TARDIS is leaving. And Rose wakes up really confused. Only some of the memories of what happened to her are there. The Doctor kind of explains regeneration very vaguely, but he does give great closing lines. I'm just going to read out this final section because I love it. Rose Tyler, I was going to take you to so many places. Barcelona. Not the city Barcelona, but the planet Barcelona. You'll love it. Fantastic place. They got dogs with no noses. Imagine how many times a day you end up telling that joke, and it's still funny. And Rose is like, then why can't we go? Maybe you will, and maybe I will. But not like this. Rose says, you're not making any sense. I might never make sense again. I might have two heads or no head. Imagine me with no head. And don't say that's an improvement. But it's a bit dodgy, this process. You never know what you're going to end up with. Doctor, stay away. Doctor, what's going on? I've absorbed all the energy of the time vortex, and no one's meant to do that. Every cell in my body is dying. Can't you do something? Yeah, I'm doing this now. The Time Lords have a little trick. It's sort of a way of cheating death. Except, it means I'm gonna change, and I'm not gonna see you again. Not like this. Not with this daft old face. And before I go, don't say that. Rose, before I go, I want to tell you, you were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And you know what? So was I. And then he turns into David Tennant. And the episode ends with, where were we? Right, Barcelona. And that's the end of the series. Again, I really do love this second half. This episode 13, I just think it has so much more meat and emotion and everything, and it just has way more to talk about. Like, we could talk about the hero stuff, and it's just such a good episode. I love it how we actually find out what Bad Wolf is. We see Rose send that message to herself so that she comes here at the right time to lead her to this moment. I really enjoy that. I really enjoy how we do get a nice tidy little bow for the end of the series. It's really sad to see Christopher Eccleston go, but David Tennant is a great doctor, and I'm super excited for him and his little run coming up next. Yeah. So out of these two episodes, my favorite part, I don't know, I think would be probably Rose at the diner. I would not have thought I would pick that part as my favorite. But I really like how she explains heroes and villains. Well, not even villains, but she just explains what a hero is and how important it is for her to be part of that and help out everybody and be on these adventures with the doctor and what it means to her. Because right now, everyone thinks that she's just there because the doctor's cute or she gets to go traveling and it's kind of fun. No, but she gets to be a hero. She gets to be her true self and her full self. And I really like how they do that. I like how they pull that all in and they make that a truth for her. I enjoy that. My least favorite part, probably somewhere in episode 12, I think. I guess it would be the weakest link. I know that they have it on there to build the tension, but they do make it go on a long time. And some of those questions, as much as they are, I believe all of them end up being callbacks to different episodes, but it's just not telling the story. I feel like this story got stretched into two where it could have been a really, really strong episode instead of being one kind of weak episode and a really strong episode. So I wish that it was all in one and a little bit more concise in that way. Basically cut most of the first episode or make the first episode a separate episode. It's just a little bit weird. It does all make sense and work in that way, but I just didn't really appreciate it being separate. And my favorite character this episode, it would have to be Rose. I mean, Linda, all the main cast is great. Linda's great, but Rose is such a strong character in the second episode, and I just love it. So I can't really say she's not my favorite. So good. And I can't believe Dr. David Tennant's here. Woohoo! What'd you guys think? A question for you is, do you guys think that the episode should have been one? What is your thought there? How would you have made this episode a little bit more concise and to the point? Do you think that the first half of this was a little bit lollygagging? I don't know if that's really what I mean, but anyhow, do you feel like that was a little bit too long? Second question, what do you think of Rose and Mickey? That moment when he says, and he's like, okay, we're gonna go then, and he's still like officially lets her go. I think this is the official moment. I know there's been a last episode probably was more of it real moment where they actually talked about it, but this is the moment where we realize, like, they love each other, they're best friends forever, they're no longer a couple. And I kind of like it. I like them better as not a couple when there's just not that tension. I think they work so much better as a team, but not in a romantic way. So what's your thoughts on that? How do you guys think that plays out? And what is your guys' thoughts on the hero versus villain versus coward kind of discussion in the second episode? Do you think the doctor was a coward when he chose not to blow up the planet? I think he was being a hero by doing the right thing, even though it is hard, because a hero is not always just making the move, running in, saving everybody. It's making the hard choices and doing what's right. So that is all, guys. Let me know what you think. Just a reminder, please go to my website and fill out that poll. I really want to hear all your guys' thoughts about what your favorite parts are so we can have a really great discussion. Please message me, Facebook me, whatever. I have an email, testgpodcast@gmail.com. So please email me questions and thoughts and topics you want to talk about next week. I know you guys think a lot about Doctor Who, so please reach out. I love to talk about these things, and I want to have a really good full discussion next week, and every little bit of your thoughts count. I just want to thank you guys so much. You guys are the best. You support me all, and you listen to me, and you are great, and I love you all. If you can, please remember to use the hashtag WASTGP or the handle @TestGPodcasts whenever you tweet or Facebook or Instagram, anything that's not direct to me, please do that so that I can read your comments. I have a Patreon page as well, so patreon.com/testgpodcast. Any support you guys can give is fantastic. I appreciate everything you do for me. Again, next week is the series one overview episode, so we'll go through main themes, problems, successes, episodes that helped, didn't help, your favorite things. So please fill out that poll again on the website. Thanks again for listening and reaching out. You guys are the best, always. Oh, again, if you want to know about the rest of the schedule until the end of 2017, please go on to testgpodcast.com. It is all there for you. In November, I will put up the schedule for the first bit of 2018. And I'll see you guys all next week. XOXO. Ciao for now.